Testing. Podcast.
Podcasting.
Audio. We love New York. Podcast.
Podcasting with Live. Peter Piper and a bunch of pickled
from
peppers.
My condo.
Pop filter.
Condominium. Welcome back, guys, to another episode of the Weekly Planet. Oh, shit. We're not the Weekly Planet.
Oh, no.
I listened too much to that shit. Welcome back to the Trade Waiters Podcast, where we review a different trade paperback every week.
What's funny is I wouldn't have noticed.
I caught myself.
You just said the wrong name of the podcast.
Oh, man. Yeah. I just like, when you listen to like hundreds of episodes, it just gets drilled into your brain.
They have so many.
How you doing, Nathan?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good.
Feeling fresh. We just had some hot wings.
From the Buffalo spot. I thought it was like a local place.
Shout out.
But turns out there's like a ton. There's there in like Texas and California and stuff like that.
So it's not like a local eatery?
Yeah, no. It's a very much a chain. But we thought it'd be fun. I got some hot sauces for, I think, Christmas. And from the Hot Ones YouTube channel.
Yep.
Where they like interview different celebrities. And we just thought it'd be fun to do the last dab. We just put a dab on whatever wing we're eating.
Yep. So we'll do that when we start talking about the story. But first, we have some news.
I mean, I already talked about it. We might as well do it now. We're talking about the news.
Okay. All right. Let's do it.
All right.
This is the last dab.
If you don't know it, look it up. You want to cheers like they do?
Yeah, let's cheers.
Oh, yeah.
All right, let's die.
This is great radio.
Mm-hmm.
Mm, fish sauce.
I'm not doing the whole wing.
Yeah.
It's too much chewing.
I'll go away.
I'll finish it later.
Anyway.
I'm feeling good so far.
I think
Oh, God.
We just had, like, the dab, like, the last dab part. Like, it's not, like, tossed in the sauce.
That's good, though.
I think with what we did.
I keep doing,
that's
like...
definitely manageable.
I keep doing, like, the bad, like, swallow that you do when you have, like, hot wings. Like, you know when you swallow and it, like, just hits the back of your throat?
Oh, and, like, all the breading just, like, tears into your throat?
It's just, like, that's what happened. And... I'm feeling good.
That's not bad. I think we expected that to be worse.
I think I did too. I didn't know what to expect. But
all right, we'll do more next time.
Yeah.
Anyway, do we have any news?
Not really. I'm just kidding. We do.
Okay.
Diamond is set to start distributing and are aiming for May 20th to be the first day back. So that'll be the weekly comics from Marvel, from Dark Horse, from everybody besides DC, who I guess is now distributing comics on Tuesday.
I heard from the local shop owner here that I guess you choose a distributor. So if you want DC Comics from Diamond, that's still possible. So he was going to switch, do this temporary option for now, and then switch over to Diamond's once they're back and running. So
that's cool, I guess.
That like is kind of like a glimmer of hope. On like this shit kind of wrapping up, like at least we got comics back, mm-hmm. You know, which yeah. Really shouldn't have gone away anyway. But anyway,
yeah. The only thing DC released like this week was like The Dream or whatever the Neil Gaiman Sandman book was.
I think
Dreaming.
The Dreaming. Yeah.
And then I saw like Teen Titans Go to Camp, and that's like really the only things I saw. But everybody kind of released like trades too. Like
the Teen Titans. Social distancing.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, there's that. I saw an article where it's like comic sales plummet.
Obviously.
No shit. Wow. So I thought that was a funny article. And then I saw that DC signed an exclusive with Mike Spicer.
Okay. I've heard of him.
He's an artist. He was on Iron Fist with Ed Brisson. I believe so.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess he did an exclusive with DC, which is cool.
Cool. All right. That's
it.
That's some in-depth news.
That's it for news because there's not much going on.
Okay. Okay.
So today we've read Avengers versus X-Men, which is our first event book. It's also our longest book now. about 13 issues.
You said it was 12 issues, but there's actually the zero issue.
I didn't realize there was a zero issue, so they got me.
Well, thanks for that.
Mm-hmm.
I just finished that before we press record.
Yep, you finished it a mere minutes ago.
I had a shotgun the last like four issues.
That's fine. That's how it goes sometimes. I had this done by like Tuesday.
Well,
like 2 days before the podcast.
Not everyone has their life together.
Okay. I know. So basically, real quick, just so you know.
So this is very in continuity.
Very, very in continuity.
And it hints like tons of shit that happened before it. So what happened before this?
So this is an event that's part of like a whole series of events almost.
Okay.
And they do a pretty good job of explaining kind of like what the gist is basically here. But it started with Avengers Disassembled, written by Brian Michael Bendis. And this is one where Scarlet Witch starts to go kind of crazy because she like has kids. But it ends up turning out that she's like actually willed them into existence and they're not like actually kids. And when she kind of finds that out, that,
that's how we all wish it happened.
I know, honestly. Oh man. So they went away and she started going crazy. And
we all wish we could do that, you know what I mean?
What?
Make our kids go away.
Oh, yeah. Accidentally will them into existence and just, like, brush them off whenever.
Exactly. Ideal.
And so she started going crazy and started, like, doing a bunch of bad things to the Avengers. Like, but they didn't know it was her. It was just a bunch of, like, weird events that were going on. So there were things where, like, Hawkeye just kind of got, like, disintegrated. There's one where like She-Hulk went kind of crazy and then ripped like Vision in half, which is why Vision's kind of mad at her in this series. And then that went into House of M, which is a really cool X-Men book. But basically, Scarlet Witch created this like ideal world. It's almost like a Flashpoint, but for Marvel, where the X-Men
is not ideal at all.
Well, it's that same like idea where it's like just an alternate universe.
Okay.
And Wolverine remembers that that's not the actual world because of his, like, healing factor or whatever.
Weird.
And so he tries to revert it back. But basically the world is, like, X-Men are, like, respected and they're pretty ideal. But then after all of that gets resolved, Scarlet Witch says no more mutants. And then, like, 98% of the mutants lost their powers. So that kind of leads us up to here.
Okay.
That's like the very general gist. I think House of M is really good, and I think Avengers Disassembled is really crazy. But Avengers versus X-Men, which is what we're reading today, it's very special to me because this was my first ever event book. Mm-hmm. So I just remember like going on Amazon and just like looking up like comics or something, and this was the one with the coolest cover, and so I picked it up, and it kind of like blew me away because I never really read like a comic event. And I didn't know that comics could, like, do this, basically. I had just been reading, like, basic issues of just, like, I don't know, normal stuff, but nothing event yet up until this. And I had a blast rereading it, by the way, because I remembered the things that I was feeling when I was reading this for the first time.
For sure, yeah.
What did you think of it?
It's an event book. It's one of the better ones. Like I don't read events anymore. It's just like the new ones as they come out. It's just like I'm not interested in it, and it's just and nothing really happens to where I think it's like worth reading. I think I just kind of like stuff that's like kind of like self-contained and not connected to this like continuity that I haven't been keeping up with.
Right.
And so, and I've been okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. But yeah, this one was pretty cool.
Yeah, so definitely very interesting. But so this is 13 issues in total with issue zero. So we're going to start off with issue zero. This whole event is written by a slew of writers.
I kind of like that, how it was like all those like heavy hitters of Marvel at that time.
Yeah.
And then like they just kind of switch off doing the script. But the story is like all of them.
Yeah, and the first six issues are illustrated or penciled by JRJR.
Yeah, uh-huh, John Romita Jr.
And then after that, the artists kind of switch up. But in general, the writers are Jason Aaron, Brian Michael Bendis, Ed Brubaker,
Brubaker,
and Jonathan Hickman and Matt Fraction. all on a 13 issue series.
I love all of those guys.
I do too.
To an extent.
Right.
I'm not a big fan of JRJR's artwork. It's just the way it is. It's totally fine. It's way better than I can draw, but it just kind of, I don't think it levels up to like other artists. And so like that kind of gave me a bad taste in my mouth as I started reading this. But that's once fair. It like switched to like Oliver Coipel. Yeah. One of those. then I was like, all right, cool. I'm on board.
It's interesting you say that, cause I don't like what JR is doing right now. He's on like Action Comics.
Okay. Yeah.
And like his stuff is like good. And like, I definitely recognize it, but I think he's really good at like micro moments or like different pieces of action. And I've taken note of them here, but I'm kind of just like iffy on his art. I think this is definitely one of the better ones that he's done.
Okay.
Or that I've read from him.
Yeah. Like his earlier Marvel stuff has definitely kind of shined a bit more.
Yep.
You know, before we get started, there's some bad dialogue in this book.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's like filler kind of things, but just that stuff just like really like irks me. Like I wrote down some examples.
Okay, good. Cause
it's like, specifically there's like Black Widow is fighting someone with like a staff or something. And she's like, watch where you point that thing.
Nice.
We got Namor later. He's like, you must know I was going to come here and kill you.
I don't think he did.
And then Cyclops is like, how's that for clobbering time?
Yeah.
And I'm like, God, I hate this.
It's not
all bad. There's just like those spots. I'm like, I have to write this down.
Action dialogue can get pretty weird.
Yeah. It's kind of hard to like read in the flow of like the book, like with the different panels when they're saying so much in these like split seconds.
Yeah, it seems like they are.
But, you know, I'm not writing it. Anyway, that's so true. Should we start with issue zero?
Yeah, we'll blow through issue zero real quick. Basically, there's MODOK. He's there. He's trying to hurt someone from Wakanda. Scarlet Witch comes in to stop it, and they fight. MODOK brings up some shit that happened in Avengers Disassembled and House of M, whatever, just to kind of fill everybody in. Miss Marvel, who is Carol Danvers at this time. Captain Marvel now, but was Miss Marvel then. And Spider-Woman show up to de-escalate it. Then they go to Avengers Mansion, and we find that Vision's still bringing up old shit about when he got ripped in half or whatever.
Still pretty salty.
Yep. And then we see the X-Men side, where Hope, who was part of like this whole Messiah complex event right after House of M, and she, I guess, is like the one that is supposed to be bringing back all the mutants, but they didn't really know how. And so they elaborate on it on this event.
And so Hope Summers is like the daughter of like
Cable
Nathan Summers. Yeah, Cable.
Cable.
So she's from the future.
Correct.
Okay.
There's a... That's like...
From the future.
I haven't... It's called like the Messiah Complex, and it's all written by Ed Brubaker. I'm pretty sure. And so I think it'd be good if I read it, but I haven't read it yet. So I guess she saved the X gene and she knows that the Phoenix is coming. And then she is like a vigilante and she has a run in with the Serpent Society that Cyclops helps out with.
Yeah, I just put like Hope sneaking out, fighting crime. Issue one.
Yep. That's basically, issue one. So this one's written by Brian Michael Bendis and then JRJR with Laura Martin on coloring and Scott Hanna on inks.
I think we mentioned everyone.
I didn't mention the inker or the color.
Oh, okay. Very important.
Okay. So, boom. The Phoenix is coming.
The Phoenix. The Phoenix Force. It's back.
Yep. It's back. It's bigger than ever. This is also an example of the All-Star Superman opening. So, if you notice that there's four horizontal panels, and then it goes to a double page spread. So, that's something I caught immediately. I made sure to note that because I'm right.
But that doesn't even have anything to do with... I don't even know what that is. Is that another planet?
This is, I assume, another planet because it looks like an alien, and then the Phoenix Force is like destroying it.
Okay,
so we know that she's bad.
It's slightly what you're talking about. Anyway,
so we know this is bad. Meanwhile, at Avengers Tower, the Avengers are meeting. But then there's like a meteor thing that flies through a plane and building. The Avengers go and save the day. And they find out that Nova was the meteor, and he's doing the basic, like, it's coming thing, and then he goes into a coma.
Yeah.
That's the gist of that. The Avengers do some avenging and saving, and then, yeah. Then we see Hope and Cyclops are training, so she has to... She's, like, doing the thing where, like, she fights with no powers while Cyclops gets used powers, because he's a rough and tough trainer or whatever.
Yeah, that's fair.
And this is, like, one of the scenes when they're training that I really liked JR's art, just in this spot. When Hope gets pushed a little bit too far, she, like, does this, like, Phoenix Blast thing where she's, like, on her knees and, like, is yelling.
No, she's taking his blast powers because she, like, oh, no, that is a Phoenix thing. Okay, my bad.
And so what I really like is that when Cyclops gets blasted, you can kind of see, like, the animation of that because the smoke is, like, following the trail of him, like, bouncing up and down on the ground.
Right. And very Looney Tunes.
And then on that third panel in this one, just the way that the smoke is on that page looks really cool to me.
He's great at, like, backgrounds and, like, just kind of structures and stuff like that. Yeah. It's just, like, his faces are so, like, similar that it kind of, like, stands out to me.
He definitely gets really creative with the way that he does things, but I do see what you mean. Because that's kind of like how it is in Action Comics right now. So yeah, that happens, and Cyclops is like, "Oh shit, there's this Phoenix thing happening." Meanwhile, Cap and Tony meet with the White House to tell the president about what they saw with the meteor thing. They know that the Phoenix is coming to Earth, so they decide to assemble a team to intercept it on its way there.
Do they know it's coming for Hope?
No, they don't.
Okay,
I don't think at this point. So, another thing I want to point out, I don't think that Marvel has ever shown the president when he's not in, like, a silhouette.
I don't think any comics show... No, DC has. I think it was, like, Suicide Squad, like, the Rebirth issues. It was, like, Obama.
Yeah. And, like, presidents here are always, I guess, ambiguous.
Yeah, this is, like, Obama's, like, eyes. It's definitely a black president. Just to throw that out.
But we don't know which one. I want to clear that. I want to make that clear. Cap then meets with Wolverine and is sort of pitching about teaming up. Wolverine. Actually, I think they do know that it's coming for Hope. Because when Cap goes to meet with Wolverine.
That's what I wrote.
Okay. Yeah. So I think they do. Cap goes to meet with Wolverine. Wolverine says that he wants to keep the kids out of fighting, and so and then you end up finding out that Cyclops wants to train the Phoenix and help the mutants grow again. So right now they're in this state where there's only 2% of mutants that are normally available, and so he wants to try and harness that, I guess.
Okay.
Which comes up later.
Mm-hmm.
So then Cyclops finds Captain America on the Utopia beach. Cap wants Hope, but Cyclops says that it's a mutant problem and not an Avengers problem. Captain America says that it's a bigger thing because it could hurt everybody, which I agree with. Mm-hmm. It's a bigger threat, and that Cyclops is too close because of the Phoenix Saga stuff that happened. And then they argue, and Cyclops throws the first punch or blast when Cap says that he wasn't asking to take Hope, basically.
Right.
And so then, after that, the helicarrier goes out of cloaking, and it's just like this big-ass ship with a bunch of Avengers on top of the helicarrier over Utopia, and they prepare for a fight. And that's the first issue.
All righty.
I want to point out the white suit Iron Fist is on here.
Yeah, way better. I think that's superior to the green one.
I think that that's probably the best design, and I think we have Matt Fraction to thank for that. So that's pretty cool. But this is also interesting because clearly Cap had this backup, but does that diminish the fact that he was trying to ask Cyclops in the first place?
Well, if he asked, political. And then he was cool about it, then Helicarrier goes away.
Yeah, but just the fact that he had all this prepared already, he was...
Batman's almost, always prepared. Everyone loves that guy.
Not everyone. but I think that's like an interesting, like, I don't know, political... I guess...
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I get why Cyclops is a little pissed.
Okay.
We go on to issue 2. This one's written by Jason Aaron this time.
So Marvel does this thing when there's like events where they just throw all these characters that you've never seen before at the beginning. They're like in it. They just sprinkle all these random characters, but they'll have like a page where they show the faces of all the characters. And like, this is who this person
oh,
is.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I would like to play a game.
Oh, fuck. Okay, here we go.
It's called Who the Fuck Is That? And here's the theme song.
Oh, shit. Okay, that's a good theme song.
So let's play Who the Fuck Is That? So on the Avengers side, we have... Who's Mockingbird?
Mockingbird is someone that's part of S.H.I.E.L.D.
What'd she do? Does she have superpowers?
She does. She was on Thunderbolts, I believe.
Okay.
And she has like some sort of sonar power. But I am familiar with that character.
All right.
She's not the best, but...
So we got a white Valkyrie. Who's a protector?
Let me see a picture.
It's like a black mask. He looks like a Batman without
cords. Absolutely no idea who that is.
See, that's what I'm talking about.
But his face is on here somewhere.
Which is why we have...
He's on the roster.
Yeah. Aren't you on that page?
No, because at the beginning of every issue on the trade, Daniel's reading this digitally. I'm reading it as the actual physical trade.
Still a trade.
Still a trade. Yeah, you're right.
So after each issue, it just goes in the next one?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
There's not a roster in the beginning, but was one big roster.
So this is way more fun for me then.
Yeah.
Because then you don't know who I'm talking about. Who's Dr. Nemesis?
Is he a black dude?
No.
Okay, then I don't know.
Yeah, it's like some lady or something with like a COVID-19 mask and an all-white suit.
Oh, he's an X-Men dude. I thought...
Oh, it looks like a lady. Yeah, and he's just got guns, and he just shoots people. That's not a superpower.
That's an X-Men, though. I thought that was that one dude that was on the X-Force, like... Anyway, it's not. It's Dr. Nemesis. I don't know who that is.
Okay, who's Madison Jeffries?
That's my boy.
Yeah. Okay. If you want to, you can pass if you don't know.
Pass.
Transonic.
Is this an alphabetical order?
It's like a blue girl or something.
I thought that was like a Cerebra instead of a Cerebro.
Okay, don't know.
Don't know.
Velocidad. That's a great fucking
name. I don't know.
Is that how you say velocity in Spanish?
Velocidad. I have no idea. This must be a bunch of like new X-Men characters.
I doubt it. Pixie. Yeah.
Is that an X-Men?
Yeah. These are all X-Men now.
Let me see a picture. I don't think she's on this one.
She's got like purple hair. It's like a young girl or something.
No idea. Pass.
Okay. Danger. It's like this robot.
Oh, that's actually the one I thought was Cerebro.
Okay.
But it's not.
Do you know who that is?
No.
Surge?
Surge?
It's a lady. It's not like short for Sergio.
I figured not. It's a weird thing to assume. I don't see him on here. Let me see again.
At the bottom, she's got like this teal hair. It's like a very... No clue. Let me speak to your manager cut.
I'm not having a very good hit rate.
Yeah, see, that's why I'm so mad about this. Because they do it all the time. Every time there's an event, they do this.
They give the roster.
And I don't know, like, 20% of them. Loa, that's the last one for this issue. The segment's coming back. Okay, see, yeah. All right, anyway.
Do you know... I'm going to ask you. Do you know who Warlock is?
Yeah, he's got, like, swords. He was in Days of Future Past.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's got like he had a new mutant. He had like paint on his eyes. No, here it looks like a mask. What?
I'm talking about this Warlock right here.
Oh, Warlock or Warpath?
Warlock. Warpath is the one that you're talking about.
Warlock. Is that an Avenger?
He's an X-Men. He's like right here.
No, that shit's freaky.
I know. It's part of the like the New Mutants. That's like really old that Chris Claremont and like Bill Sienkiewicz did.
Like the OG ones?
Okay. Yeah. So he's in here somewhere.
All right. Anyway, so issue one.
Best X-Men ever is Glob. If you don't know who Glob is, look him up. He's the best.
Is Glob in this?
Apparently.
See, and like, you totally miss it.
Yeah. I do agree. It's kind of bullshit because not all those people play a part.
We're in issue two now.
Issue two. Written by Jason Aaron.
So then there's a big fight.
Yep.
Avengers and X-Men fight. If you've ever seen one of these, you know, event things.
They all run at each other.
It's pretty big. Yeah, it's just like, you know, characters you've never seen fight before. And yeah. it's really great, like, first couple of events that you read, but then it's very, like...
It's very generic.
There's this again.
So, basically, it picks up right where it left off. There is... the last moment before hell breaks loose is what they wrote on here. But basically what that means is there's a magnetic fastball special. Are you familiar with the fastball special?
No.
So the fastball special is when Colossus picks up Wolverine and throws him.
Oh, excellent.
And then he stabs someone real good. but this time, the magnetic fastball special is Magneto throwing Colossus through the helicarrier, which I thought was pretty fun.
Nice.
And that's how the fight starts. Then,
because he's metal.
Yep.
And he can
do
metal.
It. And so all the Avengers fall into the ocean to be met by Namor. Namor? Definitely not.
Namor.
Namor? No.
Nah, that's dumb. Namor, I think.
I think it's Namor. I guess Namor versus the Thing is like typically a fight that you see. But he fights... It's like Namor versus the Thing, Namor versus Luke Cage.
Namor?
Definitely not. Nope. We're going to stop. It's Namor, definitively.
Okay. At least for the rest of this.
Emma Frost versus Iron Man, and then versus Magneto, and then Quicksilver.
I don't think we have to do this.
Black Panther and Storm, because they were married at this point.
Ooh.
Yep, and that's the last one I wrote. Iliana versus Doctor Strange. That's also an important one, too. They're both like Magic versus Doctor Strange. Her name is Iliana.
Right, right.
So I just wrote lots of cool matchups here. There's definitely some interesting ones.
For sure. And so the X-Men try to like hide Hope.
Yeah. Inside of Utopia.
They put her in like, yeah, so Utopia is like where the X-Men chill, I guess. All like 40 of them or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And they go into like this little room where all the younger X-Men are. And... where all those random ones that we just discussed.
Yeah, are probably in there.
Chilling and watching the fight. And then she, like, escapes.
Yeah, so Wolverine and Spider-Man break off to try and, like, go get Hope. And then they kind of see the aftermath of her beating up all of them. And then she does, like, this weird, like, Phoenix version of Hope. And then just, like, runs away.
Yeah.
And then ends up burning Wolverine in that process as well, because Wolverine starts to approach her to like kill her. Like he's really dead set on like murdering Hope to try and like stop the Phoenix, I guess.
Right.
And then he gets burnt real good to
definitely
a crisp.
Would do the trick.
Mm-hmm.
And then meanwhile, the Avengers have like a team in space.
Yep.
Like, trying to just stop the Phoenix Force.
They're trying to like intercept it.
Yeah.
I guess.
Just like stop right there. So, you know, all the people that do good in space are there, and mm-hmm. then I don't think it works.
They're just, they're waiting to go fight it, but hasn't fought it yet. But yeah, the Phoenix is there. It's all big. I don't know what they really planned on doing. So then we go into issue 3. Wolverine wakes up. He's all naked because he just got burnt. And Spider-Man makes a funny joke about him being naked. Classic. I was looking at the wrong issue, but that's still what happened. So Cap and Iron Man talk about what the next move is.
Whoa, Nathan, you forgot about our
segment. Issue 2. Okay, cool. All
right, I don't think I got perfect.
Is that T-Pain?
Yeah. I do not own that song. We do not own that song. It's a clip, a very small clip.
We're not going to get copyright struck by it.
Yeah, we don't make any money.
It's not long enough to do that.
Ooh, perfect. I'll do it again then. All right. Who the fuck is that? Issue 3. Let's see here. Sharon Carter.
That's
Agent Carter's daughter?
Niece? Not daughter. Is it daughter?
It is niece.
I remember that's now. The one that Captain America kisses in Infinity War.
Magma. It's X-Men. You don't even have to like.
Don't know him.
It's just a fire one, basically the same thing as Sunspot.
Yeah, don't know. It's a girl, I guess.
Kid Omega.
I was looking at that one. I think that's.
He looks fun. He looks like he's in the Gorillaz.
It looks like he's Quentin Quire.
He's got this like lavender, like messy hair, and it's drawn like more cartoony than the rest of the characters. And yeah. Then he's got these big like goggles that are like green lensed, and he's like smiling in the picture.
Yeah, and he's got a big old long smile across his face.
Do you know who Oya is?
I think I know who Kid Omega is. I think he's Quentin Quire, who becomes like a big thing of like Jason Aaron's run on X-Men. Okay. He's like an Omega level.
Oh, for sure. Oya.
No clue.
Okay. Pass. Blindfold. Guess what she's got in her face?
An eye patch?
A blindfold.
Don't know. Pass.
Genesis. These are all X-Men.
Genesis sounds familiar, but I'm going to pass.
Rachel Summers?
Yes.
Who's that?
That's a good question.
Okay. I know who it is.
She's in normal X-Men books. I just don't know really what she does.
All right. That's it for...
Who the fuck is that? Issue 2. Or issue 3. Who the fuck is that? We need like a soundboard, I think.
Yeah, but right now I got my cell phone.
Yep. So, issue 3. Avengers have apprehended the X-Men and they're on the helicarrier. Iron Man and Cap are trying to figure out what to do with them. Wolverine wakes up and starts to...
So the X-Men like surrender to get to this point, right?
Basically.
Okay.
They just like, we're like, let's just get on top so that no one's getting hurt, basically. Or that's assumed, I guess. We don't actually see that. But then the X-Men end up escaping with a diversion from magic, from the X-Men, acting as Doctor Strange. And so they escape. Because they all get teleported away, and now everyone's on a quest to find hope.
Oh, I thought they were like holograms or something. Okay.
I think they were actually there, and then they got teleported.
So Wolverine's on the side of the Avengers, and so he like reaches out to his like X-Men buddies at, you know, wherever Cerebra... Wait, is it Cerebra or Cerebro?
I don't think that Cerebra is an X-Men.
Is Cerebra like the sister of Cerebro?
I think it's just a girl version. I don't know if they're related.
But no, isn't that like that's the room like in the movies where like you know, they put the helmet on? That's
like the device, but then it becomes like an X-Men or something.
Oh, straight up. Okay. So
that's 100.
100. That's what's up.
So yeah. That's Rachel Summers that they're talking to when he's reaching out to X-Men.
Okay. And so she looks for Hope wherever she is because she's out on her own. Mm-hmm. And I guess Hope's able to make Cerebra say that she's in like 5 different places.
Yeah.
So the Avengers all split up. And then I guess Rachel Summers also tells the X-Men. So that's great.
Yep.
So they all split up.
So then they're getting split up around the world. And as they get split up by Cap, Cap tells Wolverine to come with him. And on the way there in the Quinjet, Wolverine's like a little suspicious, and then him and Cap go to have a talk about what he did when he diverted from the fight on Utopia to go try and get Hope. Cap kind of calls him out for going on his own and not following orders, which is why Hope is lost. That's what Cap thinks. And then Wolverine says that he's willing to do what it takes because he's seen what the Phoenix can do, so he was really going to just kill Hope. And then he says, if the girl doesn't die, then we all die. And then they fight for a little bit. And Cap kicks him out into the middle of Antarctica.
Right.
To get rid of him for a while. But I think it was a really cool fight scene.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Definitely, like, you kind of get, like, the flow of, like, how small the room is. And, like, you can basically, like, there's enough there to, like, piece together what happens in, like, that whole fight, which I think is really fun.
Right. And so that's the end of issue 3.
Yep. Pretty quick and simple.
Are we making good time?
No.
Oh, crap.
34 minutes.
I think that's pretty good.
That's fair.
We had a long beginning.
Issue 4. Wolverine's in Antarctica. Oh, shit. Issue 4. Who the fuck is that?
Another. This one's bigger. Holy shit. Okay, so we know Toad. He's in the movies.
And he's like a janitor.
Hepzibah.
Avengers?
X-Men.
Oh, I see. No idea. Pass. I like to think that I'm a fairly big X-Men fan.
Dude, I like to think I'm a like a superhero fan, but this always makes you feel stupid. And I think that was that. I think we know everyone else. So that's the end of... Okay, so issue 4.
That's a good segment.
it won't come up again until we do another event that is Marvel, where they have those stupid pages.
That'll be our first recurring event. Our segment. All right, issue 4. It's Antarctica. Wolverine killed like a bear to wear it as like a skin for warmth. And he finds a beer out in the middle of the snow.
I love that.
And he's playing like that, ooh, piece of candy, but
he's
with
like,
beer.
He's like, thank you, Lord.
Yeah. And
that's the most relatable part of this book.
Exactly. I'm like, that's how you get me to go somewhere. Like, just put a trail of beers.
No shit. That's yeah. Awesome.
It's like that thing. Are you familiar with the thing from Family Guy where it's like that molester dude or whatever? He's like, ooh, piece of candy. And he like picks it up and eats it and goes forward like a foot. And he's like, ooh, piece of candy. That's what that reminded me of.
Okay. So these beers are planted
by Hope.
And so he's definitely like got his mind straight on like killing her. But then she's like, I think I can control it or whatever. Help me. And then if it doesn't work, you can kill me. And then he's like, all right.
Yeah, sounds fair.
And she also has more beer on her jet, so.
Yep, that's why he agrees. Then we jump to deep space. Everyone's knocked out, but instead of Thor, because of the Phoenix, Thor throws the Mjolnir, and it. I don't know why he didn't do that first.
You think that'd be like his first move.
That's like his go-to, right?
Yeah.
Did he like run up to it and try and hit him?
Yeah. I don't know.
So he throws that, and it hits the Phoenix to a planet, and then the Phoenix immediately just consumes that planet. And Thor's like, oh, shit. He's right. Got his eyes wide open.
Meanwhile,
my bad.
The X-Men and Avengers are just scrapping in like 5 different locations. So there's more of that. And then I guess like Hope and Logan go to some place where they test technology or something. And they steal a rocket and go to the moon.
Yep.
Because that's how this shit goes.
Yep.
Do they go to the moon? And then Logan... tells the Avengers that they're going to the moon.
Yep.
I'm summarizing this. I'm only doing notes right now. So Logan tells Cap to go to the moon. Then Frost, like Emma Frost, intercepts that message somehow. And then the X-Men went to the moon.
She like just happened to be reading like Cap's mind at the time that he got that message. So right. Then the X-Men know too.
You know, super.
So now everybody's on the moon.
Yeah. So they're all talking some more, talking about what they want, obviously. And then, like, Thor crashes down on the moon.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Phoenix is there.
And you're like, oh, shit. Then this is, like, the finale for, like, the part one. This has all been JRJR at this point. So.
Some panels you forget it's him. And I think that's what I like normally. it's like, oh.
So, issue 5, it opens up with the Avengers fighting. Shit.
And we're back.
I forget every time. They're on the moon.
Who's Lee Kung?
Lei Kung? Lei Kung? He's the Thunderer on Kunlun, where Iron Fist trained to get his Iron Fist.
The Thunderer.
Lei Kung the Thunderer.
What's a Thunderer do?
He's like the one that like protects Kunlun and like orchestrates like who gets to go fight the dragon. I'll explain it later.
Oh, for sure.
But I do know who that is.
Okay, that's it for issue 5.
Yes. I passed the test.
I wonder how this sounds in the recording.
It's probably god awful. You should have run this by me before we started recording.
No, it's funny. Okay. Issue, are we on 5?
5. Okay. By Matt Fraction.
Oh, I love that guy.
Opens. So the last one ended with the Phoenix there, and issue 5 opens with the Avengers fighting. I don't think that would be the normal course of action when you see a Phoenix, but oh well. Doesn't matter because Hope does another like explosion thing to stop them from fighting. And then she realizes that things are kind of over her head when the Phoenix like starts to kind of have an effect on her. And then she asks Logan to kill her, who tries but then gets intercepted by Cyclops.
Okay, I have a note. It's very not important, irrelevant. Before she like goes like stop and then like the Phoenix explodes or whatever, you see like that double page spread of them fighting again, And did you know that Black Widow's got beams or something? Like just coming out of her hands? It's obviously technology or something.
Oh, yeah. It's like a blaster thing. I've seen that. I don't know. It's almost like an Iron Man type deal.
Her skills would be useful on the moon.
Yeah.
Without beams. All right, anyway.
That's fair. She could do one of those like scissor kick things. So anyway, Cyclops intercepts Logan about to go in for the kill on Hope, which, stupid idiot. But while that's going on, Iron Man is loading to get into this giant mech that he's built that has a space cannon that's meant to stop the Phoenix. He doesn't know if it's going to work, but he hopes.
Yeah, it looks like a big old, like...
Like a big mech. Looks like a Transformers toy.
It looks like you know, when, like, the Power Rangers, like, getting a robot to fight, like, a big monster, mm-hmm. and they all, like, join together to make an even bigger robot?
That's what it that looks like.
Just like that.
Yeah, it does. Except it's all colored uniformly, which is good.
Right.
So then he flies out to the Phoenix out in space just above the moon, and then he shoots his disruptor at it, making it explode. And I do have a note here. This is a giant Phoenix, right? Like it's massive.
Yeah, there's a lot of like Phoenix exploding moments, and they just keep getting bigger and bigger.
Well, the Phoenix itself, like the actual Phoenix force above the moon,
like this big,
massive,
big as like,
and Iron Man like flies out until he's like 40 feet away, and he's like, all right, I'm in range. And I'm like, how hard is it to shoot this disruptor thing? You have to be like 40 feet from this giant fiery bird. But anyway, he shoots it, and then the Phoenix explodes.
Okay, before that, I think, there's like a cut scene where it goes to like Ibiza, Spain, where Professor X is like, I don't know, playing in the water with Legion. And what? Professor X can walk, apparently, right here.
I don't have that.
You don't have that?
Absolutely not. I don't know what that's about.
There's a...
So what happened? That's so like, weird.
It's like before Stark gets there.
Okay.
I'm sure you have it. Anyway. But yeah, like, is there a point where he starts walking again?
I don't know. He walks and then he doesn't walk. Like, he's walking right now and, like, the X-Men run by Hickman.
Oh, my God.
So I'm not sure what the deal there is.
Okay, whatever.
But
is no, that dude, page where
Lee... Oh, Kelly? I do. Okay, yeah. I do have that.
Yeah.
Yeah, he walks.
I just didn't want to brush over that. I didn't know if you had an explanation.
Absolutely not. I'm sure there is. Probably something... from House of X.
Explain yourself. Anyway, so
the Phoenix explodes and it hits everybody and everybody's kind of hurt from it. But
the main thing
is that the Phoenix actually, instead of going to Hope, who's like super injured right now, gets split into Cyclops, Emma Frost, Ileana or Magic, Colossus and Namor. And so now they're like cosmic gods with like new costumes and everything that all look... They all look pretty cool.
Yeah, they just like got these Phoenix based costumes now.
Yeah,
and they're, I guess the power of it was distributed to the five of them.
Yeah,
they're called the Phoenix Five.
Yeah, they never refer to themselves like that again.
That's awful.
They never call themselves that again.
Yeah, they. I think the Avengers refer to them as the Five or whatever.
Yeah,
but you know he wants to say it.
Yep,
And then they all go to Earth.
So basically they take Hope and they're like, the Phoenix is meant for her, so we're gonna like heal her. And then they go to Earth.
Right.
So they're clearly influenced by the Phoenix in some way, just because of the way that the lettering is all messed up and stuff. But that is the end of the JRJR portion of the story.
So then it goes to Hickman writing the script, and then
Oliver
it's not Oliver, it's like Olivier.
Oh.
Olivier Coipel.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is it like IER?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Olivier
Coipel. He's awesome.
He's great.
He's very good.
Yeah, he's good and stuff now even. I mean, this is only from like 7 years ago, but... Right. So, yeah. Issue 6. This is...
And we're back.
I thought we were done.
Let's see. I think we know everyone on the Avengers. Then you got the Phoenix Five. Who is Glob Herman?
Oh, that's my favorite X-Men.
Are you shitting me? I thought it was Glob.
Nope.
Yeah. Is that the same one?
Yeah. That's his last name, Herman.
Oh, that looks different because he's got like a skeleton in him.
Yeah, Glob is like a... No, Blob is who you're thinking about.
Oh.
This is Glob.
Oh, his
Not to
his
be confused cousin. With Blob. No.
Right.
But Glob is basically a skeleton that is sentient, and he's in this big glob, this big like pink glob that's like transparent so you can still see the skeleton. And then his eyes are still like floating where they normally would.
And what's he do?
He's just a glob. Okay. And he's really nice. He's like a newer generation X-Men, but I do know who that is.
Okay. Primal?
Primal is... he's an angry dude based off this picture, and I don't know who he is.
Cannonball.
I know Gold Balls.
Gold Balls.
Yeah.
That's X-Men. The X-Men that you know.
Yeah. He shoots gold balls out of his stomach.
That can be handy sometimes. I think...
He's actually a pretty big part of the new run.
I think I've seen Cannonball somewhere, but I can't...
Cannonball?
Yeah.
I really wish that the roster was alphabetically ordered.
Yeah, you know.
But...
Anyway, that's it for...
So did you... What are you playing that off of, like YouTube, or did you cut it yourself?
So I screen recorded a YouTube video and then cut it down to just that 1 second where he says that.
Genius.
And like, cause I'm always like looking at this, I'm like, who the fuck is that? And then like, I just thought of that song.
That's awesome.
I think the song is called "Who the Fuck Is That?" In case anyone wanted to look it up.
What's the song called again?
And then, yeah,
that's funny. Okay.
Anyway.
Issue 6, Jonathan Hickman, Olivier Coipel. 10 days later, after that whole thing, Utopia is now like this crazy, like mystical fortress kind of deal.
You think it's been upgraded, or that's just how like Hickman writes it, or Olivier Coipel draws it?
I feel like it's more enhanced
because of the Phoenix.
Because of the Phoenix.
Phoenix 5.
Phoenix 5.
Don't take this from me.
So Charles Xavier's is there, meets Magneto there, and he's basically attempting to talk to Cyclops about his power and how people are scared of him.
And they're walking together, just to mention that.
Yeah, they're walking. He's not rolling anymore. He's his own man.
So and then, the X-Men like solve the world's problems.
Yeah.
Because they're just enhanced and are in control of the Phoenix Force.
Yeah.
They stop like hunger and poverty and all this shit.
Yeah, food and water and all energy consumption is like good and free. And so they're doing a really good job right now.
Yeah, it's going great. A very Hickman concept. And
Cyclops is like, we were always meant for this.
And I'm like, I'm on the X-Men side right now.
Me too.
And then the Avengers go after Hope again.
Yeah, so the Avengers are still operating. They go after Hope. Yep.
So I guess they like the leaders of the world or whatever think that, you know, the X-Men don't have anyone to keep them in check.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why they go after them.
Right.
Even though everything's going perfectly fine.
Yeah.
But anyway.
So,
you can't just stop there. Everything's fine. Continue.
So the Avengers, like, they kind of interact with this, like, Hydra thing, and they get overthrown by, like, this, these villains called, like, I forget what they're called. They're, like, a bunch of, like, electric people. And then Phoenix Colossus shows up. And then he talks it over with them in like their electric language, and then he solves it with his words. And so like at this point you're like, they're really trying to like help out, you know. They're doing a lot of good right now.
Right.
There's some cool silent panels of them like stopping wars and stuff all together. So they're really driving this home. Then it jumps to Kunlun, which is the mystical city.
Kunlun?
I think it's Kunlun. I think originally I thought
Kunlun?
No. It's either
Lun Kun.
No, then that's backwards. I thought it was Kunlun, and I think that sounds a little bit better, but in the Iron Fist show, it was Kunlun.
But did you even like the Iron Fist show?
It gets better.
What, like second season?
Second season's all right, but I think the first season like really shapes up.
It's so long.
It is long. Anyway. I don't recommend it, but and it should have been better. We can get into this if we read an Iron Fist book. Iron Fist is like one of my favorite Marvel character.
I know. You were so excited for that to come out. Dude. And then I'm like, oh, this is the worst one.
It's absolute dog shit, but I still kind of love it. Anyway.
Guilty pleasure.
Kunlun, Lei Kung sees like this old guy out of like a Guillermo del Toro movie. What is that movie called? Labyrinth?
Oh, Pan's Labyrinth?
Pan's Labyrinth.
Yeah, because he got
this
eyes.
Old dude looks exactly like that. He even has like the eyes on the hand.
Yeah, eyes on the palm, and then he's got like a like a blindfold.
So very like mystical, like city shit. And basically he explains that, he reveals that the Phoenix has been here before and the Iron Fist of that time had repelled the Phoenix. So they need the Iron Fist. And at this point, my little, comic self,
your little nerdy boner,
my little nerd self at that point was like, fuck yeah, this is an Iron Fist thing now.
Let's fucking go.
Yeah. And, so yeah, that happened. Scarlet Witch has a dream of the Phoenix killing the Avengers, so she's all scared about that.
Then the Avengers get Hope.
Yeah, they Halo jump,
and then I guess Cyclops like has like a monologue or whatever, and then he's like, he wants like no more Avengers.
Mm-hmm.
And then
so while they're trying to get Hope, Cyclops and Emma intervene. Iron Fist like stops a blast from Cyclops with his hands, which is pretty cool.
That's pretty dope.
And Cyclops then realizes that the Avengers were the problem this whole time, and then he says no more Avengers.
Mm-hmm.
You just said that, didn't you?
Yeah, like you elaborated on what I said though, and I appreciate it.
Scarlet Witch was there too. I don't know what she did.
Right.
Issue 7, Matt Fraction this time with Olivier. So basically it opens with Phoenix X-Men are taking over like Avengers Tower. They're mainly looking to take Scarlet Witch out because, like, that's their main threat. And then they find and fight Scarlet Witch is fighting the Phoenix Mandrakoff while Iron Man is, like, purposefully, like, collecting data on them to try and figure out more about them. Hawkeye comes in and gets, like, he, like, shoots Cyclops in the back and then he gets burned alive and they all escape. All the X-Men escape. But that's, like, that first fight scene.
Nathan.
Oh, fuck.
Aren't you forgetting something? Okay, we're back.
I literally forget every time.
Let's see, we know all these X-Men. Oh, I guess there's a Shuri Black Panther. That's kind of cool. And the normal Black Panther.
Yep.
I wouldn't do this if I knew everybody, but I don't. Armor.
No idea.
Yeah, that's just like a little girl with like a bob cut. Polaris.
She's a thing. She's like, I think she's been in one of the movies, but she like does like this weird like poison effect on people.
Okay, she's got like green hair and like this green like Magneto helmet thing.
Has some sort of relation with Magneto.
Havoc. Oh, he throws those discs or whatever, right?
He's like an actual Avenger. He's like Cyclops' brother. I don't know why he's not like a bigger part in this story.
Okay,
but you know he just like shoots like blasts out of his chest.
Okay. Last one. Boom Boom.
Is it two people?
No, one person. It looks like it's like a blonde lady.
Okay. Don't know.
Okay. This is still fun for me. All right. What issue are we on?
Seven? Seven.
Okay.
So they're at the Avengers. They Iron fight Man's again. Collecting data. They fight. Hawkeye gets burned alive and he gets taken by the Phoenix people.
So X-Men are like starting to take prisoners for some reason, like of the Avengers.
Mm-hmm.
You said that Iron Man keep fighting because they're trying to get data, trying to figure out like how they work or whatever. Yeah.
Iron Man and Black Panther trying to find a way to beat them, but they still need more data.
X-Men are scared of the Scarlet Witch.
Yep. Iron Man's trying to like build a suit. And it has, like, I guess, like a 13% chance of fighting them off, but it's going to kill the person inside. And Stark's like, I'll do it. And Black Panther's like, shut the fuck up. And he, like, slaps him.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty funny. Because, like, he doesn't know how it's going to work. So if the science, like, runs out or whatever, he's just going to, like, suicide bomb.
Basically.
All of them or something.
So in an effort to collect more data, Doctor Strange gives them the enhancement of Icon. And it creates like five different diversions of Scarlet Witch and they disperse them like around.
So the enhancement of Icon's like it's just this necklace that people put on and then they look like turned, Scarlet Witch or whatever.
Yeah. And so they're all around the world and all of the Phoenix X-Men are trying to like find the real one and they're kind of like freaked out by Scarlet Witch at the same time.
Every time you say Phoenix X-Men, I think like the city of Phoenix has their own set of X-Men. I'm like, oh, sick.
Just like a bunch of like...
That's so close to me.
Fat cosplayers. So yeah,
they're just at the convention center.
They're like all sweaty. And then so that happens. Emma talks to Cyclops to say that she knows where Hope is and that she's in Wakanda. But or no, Emma says that to Namor to say that she knows that Hope is in Wakanda, but she hasn't told Cyclops yet. I don't know why. And then Lei Kung the Thunderer shows up with Iron Fist to pitch about taking Hope to Kun Lun for her to train her. And since they're also on like a different dimensional plane, that the X-Men will be able to find them.
Right. So Namor like just comes in with a tsunami thing and then fucks up Wakanda.
Yep.
Before they go.
Basically. And that's how issue 7 ends. Issue 8. I remember this time. Unless there's nobody.
I know everybody.
Do you?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
You want to quiz me?
Yeah, let me see.
All right.
All right. Do you know who Magneto is? Ah, fuck.
Does he wear Magnum condoms?
No. Well, who knows? He might.
Potentially.
Falcon is like nowhere in this book.
Yeah, dude.
I don't know why they said that.
They throw him in there. Maybe he's in the background, but yeah, no way.
Okay. Yeah, really the only weird one is Red Hulk. Hulk. Is that Thunderbolt Ross at this point? It's got to be, right?
Yeah. Wait, is there another one?
Where's his mustache go?
He grows out of it.
And then he like grows it.
Yeah, it comes back because like his lip gets real thick and then like the hairs of his mustache go back into the pores.
Is that canon?
No, that's how I think. That's how I think about it.
Wow, well, that's a really good explanation. I'll take it.
I think in like the newer ones, like the ones that came out just a couple years ago, like it was like US Avengers or whatever.
Yeah,
like he's just got a big old.
Were you about to mustache. Say US Avengers?
Yeah, I was about to look real stupid.
That would have been dumb.
And then he's got like a Hulk mustache. It's awesome.
I think that's the better look.
It definitely is. It's way more iconic.
So let me go to issue 8. I have just really quick notes on this, but it opens with the destruction of Wakanda by King Namor of Atlantis.
So this is when I started like just binging it because it was today already. So
at what point did I come over?
I think I was in the middle of 9 or something.
Gotcha. Okay. So Namor is like flooding Wakanda and the Avengers are fighting while Hope, Wolverine, and Iron Man escape with Iron Fist and Lei Kung to Kun Lun. And Namor is like fighting the Avengers off. There's like a really funny page where like everybody takes a turn like punching him in the face.
Yeah, it's a good one.
So that's pretty good once they do get a good hit on him. And then they bring in Scarlet Witch to beat Namor as the other Phoenix X-Men show up. Once Namor is beaten like really, really good, then the Phoenix like leaves Namor and then it disperses on like the power that he has gets split up against the other four. And so that's very, like, not good for the Avengers because they're like, we just barely beat this guy.
Yeah, like, all it took all of them. Like, he, Namor, like, is on the ground getting beat to shit out of Rourke. And, or Rourke's beating the shit out of Namor. And he just, like, grabs his thumb and, like, twists his wrist and just bone, like, pops out of the Hulk's arm. And it's fucking gnarly.
Oh, shit. I just saw that.
Did you miss that?
I did.
That was, like, my favorite part.
Wow.
And, yeah, it was pretty gnarly. Anyway,
you can see the pain on his face too.
Have you ever read the book Outcast by Robert Kirkman?
I read like the first book, yeah.
So it's this dude who somehow like can exercise people by like hitting them. I don't know. That's not how they describe it.
Wow,
Kirkman. So when he like touches people, like it hurts like people that have demons in them or whatever. And mm-hmm. basically how to get them out, he basically beats the shit out of people.
That's awesome.
And it's like, it's pretty fun. It's like the idea is funny, but it's a very serious book or whatever. And that's what makes me think of when like you beat the shit out of one of these Phoenix Five people enough, then the Phoenix Force comes out of them.
Mm-hmm.
And so when that happens, then they're... piece of the Phoenix Force disperses to the other people in the Phoenix Five.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And that's like,
and then they get stronger.
It's after like a pretty good beating. Like Scarlet Witch is there and like Thor like hits him over the head with like his hammer. So it's a pretty good hit. But it's still not very good because now those four Phoenix X-Men are even stronger. And that's basically everything that happens.
Right. And they barely got Namor.
Yeah.
Namor.
Namor. So issue 9. This is Jason Aaron with Adam Kubert this time. So this, I remember this issue when my young comic reading eyes and self was reading this book.
Wait, this was this the first trade you got?
It wasn't like the first trade, it was the first event.
Oh, okay.
But this issue, I remember being like, holy fuck, like these are some big stakes.
Sure.
So basically it opens with like, it says 17 hours from now. And we see someone like coming to consciousness. There's like a bunch of fire and like Colossus is there.
The panels start out blurry and they get clearer.
Right. And Colossus is saying like, stay down. But the person that we have the perspective of is saying, I don't think I can do that. And then Colossus like does like a finishing blow and it looks like the person's like pretty dead. And I was like, oh shit, who's that? And then it pops to now. So it's 8 days since they all ran to Kunlun.
Since they call it like the fall of Wakanda or something.
Yeah. I think that's like the big like turning or like the big milestone moment. But it's 8 days since they've done that. Spider-Man is like helping with training Hope to try and like harness all of like the Phoenix power and stuff. But he's kind of reflecting on how gloomy it's been. Like the Avengers are like kind of going in groups out of Kunlun to try and save some Avengers that are imprisoned by the X-Men.
Right.
But they never come back with good news. And this time they lost Thor. So that's a pretty big loss because he's like the big powerful guy. And then they realize that they won't last this long and they need to get their missing people. And then Hope is also annoyed that she's like training right now when she should be out there like helping. And Spider-Man's like, one thing I learned about being an Avenger is that you have to wait for your time to shine, basically.
Right. Yeah. And like the going back to the Phoenix Five, they're as they get like more power, they're getting like a little bit more like unstable.
Yeah, they're getting a little bit crazy.
There's this cool page where like this random dude is just like bleeding from his nose and is like holding his head and he's like at a dinner table with mm-hmm. his family. And then Emma Frost is just behind him and talking about how he's like a pilot, I guess. And at one point, like years ago, he hit like this kid who grew wings and ended up killing him, but no one knew about it except for him. But since yeah. she's like reading like everyone's thoughts like in the world,
yeah,
she knows and like kills this dude.
It's super dark.
At the dinner table,
the whole family was there.
Broccoli just covered in blood.
That's no way to eat broccoli.
They're having some pork chops
yep.
or something.
You start to find that the X-Men themselves are like turning away, you know, and like just like little bits.
Yeah, they're like leaving Utopia.
Yep. And so Storm actually goes to Wakanda to meet Black Panther. And that's when he kind of finds out that
the X-Men are kind of turning.
Yeah, the X-Men are kind of turning, but then also T'Challa divorces Storm
because
they're on like different sides. So like that's a pretty big, heavy thing that happens this issue.
Man.
Yeah.
I like them.
I like them together, too.
Yeah. It's just,
she's
it's
like,
such a
this
cool
is my people, too. And T'Challa's like, no, it's not.
It's just like a cool like power couple. And like because of this, they get like torn apart, among other things.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's problems in the bedroom and whatnot.
Which, I mean, is cool. I mean, which is cool because there's like lasting effects of this issue. It's not like everybody that dies comes back. Like they've never gotten back together after this.
Oh, that sucks.
I know.
I just want like a portrait of them.
I want like their own series. Like I think it would be really cool.
They just argue about like what kind of toilet paper to get.
Yeah. About who did the dishes last. So yeah. And so basically, the Avengers are trying to go to save the people that are imprisoned. And so they have this team that runs into a volcano to find Xavier there with Storm. And Xavier explains that like the volcano that they're in is actually Limbo, brought up by magic to imprison the Avengers. And there's like a bunch of like limbo creatures and stuff in there. But I think it's pretty cool.
They're just that's like big sweet, worms with like arms and no faces, just like mouths with huge,
comically big teeth.
Huge teeth, yeah. Not something you want to run into.
Yeah.
Xavier makes him invisible. And then they go to find like all the Avengers that are captured are all wrapped up in like these cocoons of like web or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so they got to like get them out.
Yep. And then Magic and Colossus find them there. And so they meet them in the middle of all this.
Right.
So that's really bad. They're having a tough time fighting them. And then Spider-Man has this really awesome moment that like almost made me cry while I was like rereading this.
I did not feel that way.
Okay, me neither.
I could see that, but it just like...
Well, it like hit me a little bit different. I'm not going to say it like almost made me cry, but Spider-Man was basically thinking back to what he said to Hope about her time will come and she just has to be ready. And so he decides to... He says Iron Fist, like, tell Hope I meant what I said. And Iron Fist is like, what? And then Spider-Man... like jumps in and he closes off the area behind him by just like a bunch of rocks falling.
He grabs all the Avengers that are running towards him, like thwips them back. Oh, and yeah. Then he like kicks the ceiling or something. And then rocks just kind of, enclose them. Yep. The two like Phoenix Five people and then
Colossus him. And Magic.
Right.
And Spider-Man are in the room together. And so they like start beating him up like a lot. Like, it's brutal.
Like, a ton.
He's, like, bleeding inside of his mask.
There's a punch in the face where, like, dude, his face, like, incaves. Yeah, I think, dude. I think that's a word.
It's disgusting.
I think I used it right. Yeah. I'm like, oh, no. And then he, like, can't breathe because, like, his mask is full of blood.
Yep. And so he's doing all this so the Avengers can leave. But we find out that Spider-Man was actually the person in the beginning of the issue.
Right. That, like... could barely see or whatever.
Yeah, so he gets beat up like a lot. There's a lot of broken bones, presumably.
And then he like manipulates them into thinking that, or saying like, oh, if you were to don't fight each other because you're brothers and sisters or whatever.
Yeah.
And if one of you like gets beat up real bad, then the other one gets the Phoenix Force, and then they fight, I guess. Yep.
Magic and Colossus are like...
But you don't see that. You just see the volcano. Well,
Magic...
Explode.
Magic takes like this perspective of like, you have all this power and you're not even using it. Like, you can kill Spider-Man easily. And
Colossus is definitely bullying.
Colossus is like a big old sweetheart. And he's like, stop saying these. You're beginning to worry me. He's like, I'm not going to kill this person. And then Spider-Man's like, well, someone's got to have this Phoenix Force, clearly. And then they just end up hurting each other to the point where now neither of them have the Phoenix Force.
Right.
And so that ended up going to Emma and Cyclops.
See if Namor, them two. Yeah, two, final two. Okay. Yep.
They're not the Phoenix Five no more.
Then the Avengers never left. They went and go back to get Spider-Man.
Yeah, they get Spider-Man. They find that Cyclops and Magic are all hurt. And then Magneto also like thinks out to Xavier saying that they need help after like Emma starts like threatening Magneto in like this weird way and making all these X-Men kneel. So he reaches out to Xavier. And then Cyclops is in Kunlun now.
Got him.
After all this happens. So they now, Cyclops and Emma, have the power of the five of them between the two.
So, or one Phoenix Force. Half Phoenix Force.
They have one half Phoenix Force.
That's right, correct. Right.
So that was issue 9.
Yes, sir.
I remembered this time.
Let's see here. I think we went over these people already. Oh, wait. How would you explain the Watcher?
The Watcher is this cosmic being that watches over the Earth, and he tries not to intervene, but he just makes sure that everything is going good and that no one is messing with the way of things, how they're supposed to be. But all he does is like watch.
So why doesn't he help?
Because all he can do is watch.
What's the point of that?
I don't know. I guess this is how it was supposed to be. He like lives on the moon normally.
Huh.
But he kind of like watches over everything.
Well, why in the Guardians of the Galaxy 2, their cameo, there's like multiple watchers?
There are multiple watchers. It's not just one. But the idea there is that... Stan Lee is like supposed to be a watcher because he's like watching over everything that's happening in like the MCU. Mm-hmm. And now I think that that's a really cool idea now that he's passed on.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how cool of an idea is that he's like still watching over the MCU from as like a watcher? Isn't that like super nice?
Very nice.
Aww. So I think that's why they did that. I called that also. I just want to let that be known.
Called what?
I was like, I thought of it one time because I was reading Original Sin where like the Watcher dies.
You know what? Maybe they thought of it.
They thought of it.
You just read it.
They thought of it independently of me for sure. But I remember thinking like this would be really cool if that's why Stan Lee is in all these different things. because maybe like as the Watcher, he's just like putting himself as like a cameo in each of these different Marvel events that are happening.
All right, everybody, Nathan cracked the code.
You heard it here first.
Not any of these people who do this for a living is Nathan. He wrote it.
No, I said that they probably thought of it independently of me, but I probably thought of it first.
Okay. I don't actually, now that I'm saying your name, I don't think I like introduced you at the beginning of the podcast.
Hi, everybody. My name's Nathan.
My name is Daniel, and that's my brother.
Okay. Should we start over?
Yeah.
Okay. Issue 10.
Issue 0.
Issue 10, written by Ed Brubaker. So Cyclops is there in Kunlun.
Nice.
Iron Fist tries to hit him real good, and then he gets kind of blown off by Cyclops.
Oh, pencils go to Adam Kubert. He's awesome, too.
Yeah, Adam Kubert's awesome.
That's a legend.
He really is, yeah. So Iron Fist tries to hit him. Cyclops kind of brushes him off, basically. Hope runs to find Lei Kung, and then Iron Man ends up tackling Cyclops as he goes after Hope. All this stuff happens. Hope ends up finding Lei Kung, and so they go, and Lei Kung's like, come with me. It's like, it's time. And while this is sort of happening, the Avengers are like trying to intervene. Hawkeye's back, and all this stuff is happening. And then all of a sudden, Cyclops gets hit from this like green fire, and it's Shao Lao the Undying being ridden by Lei Kung.
Ooh,
and Hope.
Bitch.
So
Shao Lao, he's back.
So for those who don't know, which is probably everybody, because this is a really weird origin. So
get ready.
I took a really deep breath. So Shao Lao is this dragon that lives in Kunlun that gives whoever is worthy the power of the Iron Fist as long as they beat up the dragon. And he has this little logo on his chest that has the Iron Fist logo. And so Iron Fist basically went into Kunlun, wherever Shao Lao is, and punched him in the heart.
Yeah.
And then after that, he hugged him real good, right where this like this Iron Fist logo is. And so I guess it's like branded onto his chest. So that's not like a tattoo or anything that's on his chest. It's like an actual brand from Shao Lao. But after that happens, hug. I guess there's like a cycle where like there's a new Shao Lao that starts like growing. So this is like a baby Shao Lao.
So after Daniel Rand punches Shao Lao, there's a new Shao Lao?
I think this is a new Shao Lao because he punched the other one in the heart.
Okay. Yeah, because this is a young Shao Lao.
This is a young dragon. So this dragon has like this Iron Fist power in him, which is why it's effective against Cyclops. It actually hurts him. Cyclops is like very surprised by it.
Yeah, he's got like this green fire that...
Yeah.
You said that, but...
Yep. And
now
so,
that you know where it's coming from.
Basically, that's happening.
Pretty dope.
So
what is Hope Summers' powers? She's like Parasite, where she's just like whenever she's near somebody, she can adapt their powers. Because she is near Shao Lao and then ends up shooting fire from her mouth
at
Cyclops.
That must be what it is. I don't know for sure.
It's pretty sick, though.
Yeah. So she like hits him with like a dragon blast after... Cyclops kind of hits them down. They have this moment where Cyclops is like, why are you siding with them instead of your people? So basically that happens. So then Cyclops uses this like new power and like teleports Cyclops to the moon after she briefly takes away Cyclops's like power from what it looks like, and like teleports him to the moon. And so he's like pretty hurt for like 15 minutes, and then he gets his Phoenix Force back, and that's where the Watcher is on the moon.
Just looking at him.
He's watching. He's not intervening.
Ah.
And then Cyclops starts to fly back, but that's basically what happens. This is when Emma or Magneto starts to call out to Xavier.
Yeah, I was about to say, I don't remember that.
I was too far down on my notes.
Come on.
But yeah, that's what happened. That was a really cool issue, too, because Shao Lao looks dope.
You know, I'm glad that they explained that he was like a baby Shao Lao.
Yeah.
Because like I that's just not how I picture him. I'm sure I've seen him before, but I just imagine these huge wings or whatever, and just a bigger dragon.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah, just enough for Cyclops and Lei Kung to ride.
Right.
So now we're on to issue 11. This one's by Brian Michael Bendis and Oliver Coipel again.
Coipel.
Olivier Coipel.
Kuipo.
Do we have another edition of our famous segment?
I'm going to that like Marvel Comic Unlimited thing. And there's like a ton of pages, so it's like taking a second to get through.
Okay.
Which I guess only comes with the digital version.
The roster?
You know that thing I showed you where like it's one panel and then...
Oh, the works. Marvel AR thing?
Right.
Yeah. So there's like a special Comixology edition of this where the panels are more like animated, which is kind of cool. But
it's
if you're
not
reading
even the normal story, though, it's like these little like spin-off stories that aren't even like super helpful.
Is it the tie-ins?
They have to be like digital tie-ins, I think. It's not those like AVX ones where it's just these random battles between people.
Is it like a random Avenger and X-Men fighting each other?
No, it's like part of the story. It's like it's almost like the Clone Wars episodes in between.
Weird.
You know?
Well, so, while you scroll through that.
No, I think we're good. Okay. On, who the fuck is that? Oh, wait. Nope. One sec.
We have one.
That might have been too close.
Looks good.
Karma.
X-Men.
Yeah.
Probably has some powers dealing with Karma. But don't know her specifically.
X-Man.
X-Man?
Really? X-Man.
I thought that was like a newer character. Because Rob Liefeld just did a run on X-Man.
So just because Rob Liefeld does it, it means that he...
I thought he like created that character. Like recently, but
maybe
I don't really know what he is. He kind of looks like a weird juggernaut almost, right?
He just like has like a, he's got mostly brown hair and then this like patch of white hair, like almost like a white like mohawk, and it's just some
weird
dude.
Yeah, I don't know him.
That dude Warlock comes in, I guess.
Yeah,
who's he again?
He's an X-Men.
Do you know what he does?
He fights pretty good.
He fights real good. Okay, that's it.
Cool. All right, issue 11.
That's the end of our segment. We're almost done. Anyway.
Issue 11 of 12. Cap reaches out to the Hulk, who I guess has been in isolation this whole time, so it's like a big deal that I reached out to him.
He lives in the Grand Canyon. That's pretty cool.
Oh, I guess that is the Grand Canyon. I didn't even notice.
You're damn right, bitch.
Oh.
That's dope. That's a sick panel.
That is sick.
That'd be sweet to have as like artwork.
I know. Just like chilling. How big and hulking he is.
Hulk's got some bedhead. My bedhead looks like that, dude.
That's pretty cool. If only you were that buff.
I am that buff. Dude, imagine having those traps and just going to the grocery store.
Unbelievable. They're like 6 feet traps.
Oh, dude. That's like the size of Cap.
Also, Cap paired with Xavier to find other X-Men that are on their side. So that's happening. Cyclops and Emma are at Utopia, and Emma talks about burning the whole world down to Cyclops, and just she wants to like start from scratch, basically. Cyclops tells her to stop, and then he feels Xavier on the beach, and so he goes to confront him, and Xavier kind of threatens to shut him down, like psychically, or whatever you would call that. But Cyclops
mentally?
Keeps, huh?
Mentally?
Yeah. Well, no.
Psychologically.
Definitely not.
You sure?
He needs a degree for that. I guess he is a doctor.
He's a professor.
Dr. Xavier?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, professor. Yeah.
That dude's got a PhD.
I'm sure you need a doc. No, you don't need a doctorate to teach.
You do to teach secondary education.
Post-secondary education?
That's what I meant.
Yeah. Anyway, Dr. Xavier's there. So he threatens to shut him down psychically. Mentally, psychologically, in all the different ways.
All the ways.
But Cyclops keeps saying that he did way more than Xavier ever did, and he's forcing his hand, basically. And so it turns out Xavier is actually cloaking all the other Avengers to help hold Cyclops down. Is that what's happening?
Yeah, he said, like, he's like, you don't even know the final battle is already being won. And so... This is cool because I did not want like another big like X-Men and Avengers fighting, and so it's just like Doctor Strange like holding him up with, you know, magic, and all the Avengers, they're just like kind of watching, making sure they're like chilling.
And I think Doctor Strange is like holding him, and that's why he's doing this like T-pose thing,
right? And then Xavier's just standing there in front of him
on the beach.
Pretty crazy. It's nighttime.
So it's nighttime. Yep.
And the Vision's daytime.
So Emma starts to intervene, trying to take out, you know, Scarlet Witch, who's helping to contain Cyclops, I guess. So she gets a good hit, and then Hulk smashes down Emma to kind of like take her out a little bit. A bunch of people take hits until Xavier goes to shut down Cyclops, like for real, finally. And then Cyclops sort of counters and knocks Xavier down. And then he then goes, and Cyclops is like, this is enough. And he goes to beat up Emma, taking her half of the Phoenix Force so that he can have all the power to himself so that he could stop everybody, basically.
Got her.
And then when Xavier goes to really intervene again, then there's like this big explosion to find Xavier like actually dead this time. I thought he was dead the first time because he like seemed pretty knocked out, but no, he's like actually dead in this panel.
That didn't really like hit me, I think, the way it was supposed to.
I think it's pretty big, like, if you think about it, like Xavier like trained Cyclops and all this stuff, and yeah, what they're fighting about, like, they both have ideals of like a perfect world for mutants.
For some reason, when I was reading this digitally, and like you can have it zoom in on the panels and then swipe, it'll go to where it needs to go next. I think it got fucked up and it like didn't go the right direction, so I was really confused, just like this whole issue. But and yeah, that's no good.
Yeah, that's pretty big. So Xavier's dead again. Cyclops cries a little. Then when Hulk throws Wolverine at him, trying to do a fastball special, Cyclops burns him, and then.
Very reminiscent of, you know, the original, like, Phoenix.
Yeah.
I haven't read that, but I saw X3, and I think that's the same thing.
That's totally accurate. Totally accurate.
Where she, when you get closer, there's this wave of, like, heat or whatever, and it makes burn skin or whatever.
Mm-hmm. And he's, like, saying, like, oh, I finally feel how Jean felt. Then he turns into, like, the Dark Phoenix, officially.
Right. And so he's just, like, all black, and then he's got, like, he looks like he's the Flash or something with all these like electrical
A bunch of like electrical things happening,
and then like the Phoenix on his chest is like glowing. I don't know if he's got his like visor or
no, he doesn't like need it anymore right now.
Is it called a visor?
Yeah,
a visor just goes on your head though.
No, I think a visor is like a, I think it's like a optical thing as well.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
So one last time.
Okay, here we go.
So, on the X-Men side, the Stepford Cuckoos.
The Stepford Cuckoos, yeah. They are, I don't know what
don't
they're.
Don't pronounce it like you know it.
Oh, yeah, of course, the Cuckoos.
Oh, the Stepford
yes.
Cuckoos.
Yes, the Cuckoos. Mm-hmm. they're like triplets that have psychic powers. I don't know That's what they cool. bring to the table or why that. Anybody thought that they would be interesting?
They're in like Cerebra, I guess, while this is all going on.
They all like are basically one person, almost like their minds like bounce off of each other. And I think they like finish each other's sentences and stuff sometimes. But I don't really know much about them other than that. But I am familiar.
Okay.
Anybody else?
Nope. That's the end of
our new famous segment.
Email in to
if you know who those people are.
Yeah, if you know who these people are, or if you want us to do an event again to bring back.
Man, that was just seamless.
It will be missed because there's like a delay because I have to open up like the new app and the animation takes a second too. So anyway,
so issue 12. This one is Jason Aaron and Adam Kubert finishing it off. So we're just going to run through this real quick. Iron Man basically has a plan that he came up with while at Kunlun. So that happens in the present. Dark Phoenix is raising hell all across the earth, and the Avengers are trying to contain it, but not really succeeding.
Let's bring up this brilliant plan that he somehow took like 12 issues to get together.
Okay. The brilliant plan is that he has Hope and Scarlet Witch fight him.
At the same time.
Like, which is really, really hard, though.
He's, like, mixing, like, magic and science and shit to try and make this work or whatever, and that's, like, the conclusion.
That is pretty shitty.
He's, like, useless the entire way.
Yeah. Because, like, he tries to come up with some sort of science-y way to, like, defeat the Phoenix Force.
Yeah, like, some sort of weapon to where...
And, like, science is, like, well beyond... Or, the Phoenix Force is like well beyond all like science, and so there's like an arc that Iron Man has where like he's just struggling with the fact that like science isn't going to fix this, and he has to use a bit of like, you know, he has to dive into like magic and spirits and faith.
I will give them credit that they were spending all this time trying to protect Hope, that they don't think about using her.
Yeah.
And that's like kind of where it makes sense, I guess.
But now the difference is that Hope is able to basically use the power that she got from Shao Lao. Which I'll get into. They explain it a little bit later. So the Dark Phoenix is, or Cyclops is raising hell across the earth. The Avengers are trying to contain it.
Hold on, I like this part. There's like panels where they go all around the world. It's like Paris, Sydney, Beijing, and then it's like Sacramento
on 4th Street. Where there's like the Hulk gets thrown.
There's nothing identifying in this picture. If it didn't say Sacramento, you would have no idea where there's it was.
Palm trees.
It looks more like Miami than anything.
There's some traffic.
And not even. Nothing to do. That's Sacramento.
That's Sacramento.
And then so, it goes to the Mediterranean Sea. That's such
the
a
Himalayas.
Fallout.
Yeah.
The sky's above the Amazon jungle.
That is funny. They should have said like,
LA?
I don't know. Maybe Hollywood?
Yeah, yeah.
Something like that.
That's where shit happens. Yeah, Sacramento doesn't get enough shit.
Like Northern California.
Someone's got to be from there.
All the cool shit happens in SoCal. Okay?
Watch like Jason Aaron and be like, oh, my mom's from Sacramento.
Yeah, probably.
Let's just throw it in there. You probably had them draw like a little her.
It's probably like Jason Aaron's car or something.
Wait, hold on. There is an old lady in the back, I think.
That's.
And then there's a dude in the back with her.
In Sacramento.
It might be Jason Aaron. Anyway,
he has put himself into different books. He's put himself into his Thor book a lot.
He's got the beard for it.
So yeah, all that's happening. There's like this interaction where they all catch him in like, I don't know, wherever they are. And they still aren't able to beat him. So Cyclops starts like flying in the air to go like create shit in like a different area. And Iron Man's like, all right, anybody that's out there, we need to bring Cyclops to the ground, even though he was like just on the ground. Then Nova comes back. He's out of his coma, I guess. And
I was about to say, where the fuck did he go?
Yeah. So he was in that coma after he like crashed out on the first issue.
Ooh.
So he comes back and was like around the world and just takes a couple seconds to go get him and tackles him to the ground.
Nice.
Cyclops kind of like makes fun of him or whatever. Now they're on the ground. Nova's really hurt, but Hope and Scarlet Witch are there. So
our master plan.
So basically Iron Man's plan was to have Hope finish her training with Iron Fist so that she'd be able to focus her chi like Iron Fist does to create the Iron Fist. And then have Scarlet Witch and Hope just pummel him a bunch, basically. So the difference now is that she's able to focus her chi into both fists and use part of like her Phoenix Force power as part of that.
Okay.
That's what I took from it. Basically, I think that's pretty much what happened.
Yeah, I was going through this very fast.
So they were fighting him, and Cyclops is pretty hurt from this and kind of reflects back on his life as Cyclops. And so he kind of like snaps out of it a little bit and like looks very genuine at Iron Man or whoever that is. And he's like, please kill me before it's. And then the Phoenix kind of takes over again. So then Wanda and Hope hit him real good again. And then the Phoenix lashes out and then finally gets to Hope instead. So all of the entirety of the Phoenix is now in Hope. Which, after that happens, she flies off and starts kind of repairing all of the shit that Cyclops started.
She, like, puts out all the fires and
all the
shit
fires,
and
goes to Sacramento and
throws a
fixes
rock
whatever that was.
Erupting volcano, you know, as you do.
Do you think that would work? Does that fix the problem?
I don't think so. I think it makes it worse.
There's also multiple volcanoes, so she must have thrown a bunch of rocks.
And so she's like, I am Phoenix or whatever, with her
white
Jean Grey outfit.
Mm-hmm. And so basically she tries to be like a Phoenix, but that's like a force for good.
She's like, I can do this.
Yeah, just like everybody else thought.
Yeah.
Scarlet Witch then kind of comes in and is like, look, we've seen this before. She was basically saying that like Hope was right about her like causing all this shit, which is part of like that, like the issues that they had before, because she Hope thought that she was like the actual start to all this because of the No More Mutants thing. But, you know, now they're friends. But now it's kind of like she says that it's Hope's turn to prevent all this. And so they take hands and they say no more Phoenix. And then the Force leaves Hope and then just kind of flies around the Earth and makes a whole bunch of mutants around the world before it like gets destroyed.
Oh, yeah.
So
that was cool.
Basically, that happens. So now all the mutants are starting to come back. And the Phoenix is gone, basically. So the Phoenix Force, I guess, while it was being destroyed, was being dispersed a bunch of times to people that are now becoming mutants.
Right. And then there's all these, like, pages of just, like, it wrapping up. Like, Cyclops is, like, in jail or whatever.
Cyclops is in, like, a Ruby room prison. They're kind of trying to figure out what to do with him. Cyclops kind of hints that he was kind of right the whole time. Like, the Phoenix was a rebirth for mutants. And then Cap is like assembling a new team, which I'm sure was a different Avengers book.
That has mutants in it now or something.
Yep.
And that's basically it.
That's everything.
And then there's like a couple more issues that just were like a couple page issues of like, it's like Iron Man versus Magneto.
If you
want to go that deep into it.
I actually read the tie-ins that were just basically one shots. Right. And it was like a random Avenger and like a random X-Men fighting.
Uh-huh.
And there were actually some really, really cool ones. Like, you can kind of tell that with those spinoffs, they made it more, like, artist-focused. And they kind of let, like, the artists kind of make it a more visually interesting fight.
Oh, for sure.
Specifically, the one I want to point out, if anybody is going to go read them, is there's one with Thor that's just phenomenal. Like, really? One of my, like, favorite issues ever, just because of the how creative he gets with the art.
Okay.
It's by Kare Andrews. K-A-A-R-E Andrews. Okay. He like writes and draws it, and it's incredible.
Nice. Okay.
So this is a book where I think some of the tie-ins were pretty cool. I don't know if there are more tie-ins, but that's all that I've read. But yeah, that is the end.
Yeah, that one wasn't as dense as, you know, like All Star Superman, and so it was all pretty
linear.
One pretty linear. That was a better word than I was about to say.
Yeah.
This does not rekindle my interest for events or anything. But it was cool, you
know? I had fun rereading it,
seeing the gang. Yep. And I'm pretty sure you've been telling me to read this like since you started telling me to read comics. So
I like it
anyway.
So now we're gonna go on to the pull list, our segment of the show where we talk about the books that we're reading that aren't trades.
I have not had time for single issues, but what I did start recently was Dragon Ball Super.
Did you?
Yeah, it's awesome.
There's a lot of episodes of that now,
dude. Yeah, there's like, it's one season, but it's like 130 episodes. Okay. You know how anime works, I guess. Dude, it just like super nostalgia, you know. And it picks up right after the fight of like Boo, you know, in Dragon Ball Z. So it's, I'm like right there. Which is cool, because that's cool. Like where Dragon Ball Z
was. It's supposed to be like really good. Like a couple of my coworkers watch it. Do you like it so far?
Yeah, I'm like three episodes in, but like they're so good at just like getting the point across of like how powerful some people are.
Right.
And like, you know, like how powerful like Vegeta is, and like there's this new villain or whatever. His name's Beerus. He's like the little cat thing. The purple cat thing.
Okay.
And he's really cool. He like would tap a table and like half a planet would explode and you're like, fuck, dude. And anyway,
that's pretty powerful.
And he's like looking for Goku. I'm like, this is perfect. But he's really neat. He's kind of funny. He kind of like breaks the fourth wall. And he's like, he has this dude who like does stuff for him, and he has to transfer him or like carry him around.
Right.
And he's like, how long does it take to get to Earth? And he's like, approximately 26 minutes and 22 seconds. And he's like, damn, that's as long as a anime episode. And then so it's like, yeah, he's like,
episode.
Right, exactly. So there's obviously going to be like an episode where he's not even involved. But
because he's on his way to Earth.
Right.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah, so I enjoy it. It's exactly the same as like how it was. And it's a lot of fun.
Nice. I actually did start catching up on Farmhand.
Oh, okay.
I'm like super behind, and I couldn't really remember. I was at like issue 10 or something, but I just basically started at the second trade, which is issue 7.
Right.
And that's just a wacky book, dude. It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's by Rob Guillory, who did like my favorite independent series, Chew. He was like the artist with John Layman as a writer. Mm-hmm. But Rob Guillory is writing and drawing this.
Does he do the colors too?
No, he has the colorer from Chew on there.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, it's a good book. He definitely does really well as a writer, which yeah. You can't really say for everybody.
Basically, the idea is that this kid has a dad that figured out how to grow organs like from the ground because he has this like green thumb, basically. But then, so he's like, his dad's like super rich and has this like really successful organization where he's like, he like solves the problem of like, or like a bunch of different like organs not being available or different body parts even.
Yeah, he's able to make these different human parts like
by growing them
biologically. I don't know, agriculturally. Yeah. I don't know, but yeah, he's able to figure that out.
Mm-hmm. And then you start to figure out that the things that he's growing have a weird effect on people. And so I'm reading that and it's really great. And the art is just my favorite to look at.
Yeah, definitely.
He's one of my favorites. So that's all that I've really been reading.
Super unique style of artwork.
Yeah. Easily noticeable. He did some Marvel stuff for a little bit. Like he was on Thor for like some of like the spinoff like Thor books.
Yeah.
Like the one shots basically.
And then I think he does like some covers here and
there.
He
did Secret Wars 2, like TOO.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember that? He was on that.
That was awesome.
Yeah. I hope he does more Marvel stuff. He says that he would want to do Plastic Man, which I think would be really fun.
Perfect.
Yeah, absolutely perfect. But yeah, that's my pull list. So now we got to decide our future trade.
So hopefully, I guess books. Did you get books on Wednesday?
No.
Okay. My comic shop said that they were supposed to have them, you know, yesterday, but there's something wrong with the shipment or whatever, so they'll be there next week. So okay. We should have new books next week.
Sweet.
Have you followed up with your shop or anything?
No.
Okay.
I followed their Instagram and they said that they were still closed yesterday on Wednesday. So I don't really know what's going on.
Hmm.
I'll have to...
Guess you got to go back to the old shop in Tempe, Ash Ave.
It's far away.
Not even. Literally like 15 minutes.
From me?
I think so, yeah.
I don't think so.
Straight up. But anyway. Okay, what do we got next?
Future trade. What's next episode? So this was a Marvel book. So now we're going to an independent book.
Yeah.
I picked this one.
You picked... Oh, like
I Avengers. Picked Avengers versus X-Men.
I'm not good at making decisions. So I've
But think, I do have a recommendation if you I can't think of anything.
I think about this all the time because I like doing this podcast when it's books I've never read before.
Yeah.
But there's so many good independent books I just want to like talk to you about, like, you know, as in depth.
I think we should definitely go a little bit lighter because our last two episodes were 12 issues.
We're definitely doing something that's like 6 issues.
Okay.
What's your suggestion?
So I had this book given to me as a gift, but I've never read it.
Are you pulling it out right now?
I'm pulling it out.
Do you have it?
Yeah. I brought it just so that you could see it. It's this book called Shirtless Bear Fighter.
Oh, damn. Where'd you get that? I've seen that. I remember when that was coming out.
The reason I want to read it is because it's supposed to be like super comedic and funny, obviously. But I was looking at the inside of it and there's a bunch of like really cool, like special thanks call outs, like from famous artists, but it has an introduction by Duncan Jones, like the director. Do you know who that is?
No.
He did like Sunshine and like Moon.
Oh,
that okay. guy.
I didn't know his name.
So Duncan Jones.
Damn.
And, it's by Jody Lehiep and Sebastian Gerner. We don't have to, I'm just saying. It's a suggestion, and it's only 5 issues.
I don't know. Did you read it already?
I haven't read it.
Oh, okay.
I think it'd be funny.
That'd be so funny. It's just like we do like Superman, Avengers,
Shirtless Bear Fighter.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm down.
Okay.
That sounds fine.
Sweet.
That's an Image book. Sounds good. First trade?
Image. It's only one trade. This is all contained story.
Oh, I love it.
Yep.
All right. Sounds good.
This will be the... No, yeah, never mind. What I was going to say is wrong, so I'm not going to say it.
Okay.
Yep. All right, Shirtless Bear Fighter next week.
All right. Go read it so you can be caught up.
Be there or be square.
Or buy it so you can read it while...
Buy it this Wednesday and read it by Friday when this posts.
Yeah. Do you have anything else?
No. Thank you, everybody, for listening.
Thank you for another episode, or listening in on another episode of Trade Waiters. You can email us at tradewaiterspod@gmail.com.
Any questions, any comments, any suggestions?
Yeah, I love suggestions. Have we gotten any emails?
No.
All right. So first one we get, we're going to be doing.
We are also at tradewaiterspod on Twitter.
I'm Dan Tividad at Twitter.
I'm at more like Nathic on Twitter, N-A-T-H-I-C-C.
The real Daniel Natividad on Instagram.
I did also forget to mention, remember when I said I was going to put up a poll for water? That was garbage.
Oh.
Between Arrowhead or Dasani.
Yeah, like 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, during our Walking Dead episode. I'm not wrong. Arrowhead is voted on as the worst water.
Thank you, everyone, for voting.
Yep, thank you, everybody that voted.
What was the percentage?
So, I'm going to pull it up right now.
It is Dasani versus Arrowhead.
Dasani versus Arrowhead. The right answer is Arrowhead, and 67% of people agree out of 6 votes. So
I'm okay with that.
That's representative of like the entire world, I think.
Yeah, how many votes were there?
6. So I think that sample size, you know, is pretty representative of all of the entire world. So right. Basically everybody agrees that Arrowhead's garbage and tastes like toilet water.
Oh, it's so bad. It's yeah, like it the worst way to hydrate.
We like used it to like wash our hands when we went camping.
Oh no, when yeah, there's that, and then remember we used that to like wash our hands in like Mexico,
just cause yeah,
it's like sketchy with like Montezuma's Revenge.
Yeah.
And like the shit in their water.
Yep.
That's funny. Yep. Well,
so everybody can sleep well knowing that Arrowhead's the worst and that I'm right.
I know people are on the edge of their seat waiting for us to say that.
Yeah, I know. And they were mad that I forgot to bring up last episode. Huh. But anyway, that's it. We will see you guys next week.
I mean, we won't.
We'll They'll talk to us. You guys next week, and you'll hear us, but we won't have any.
I'll talk to you.
Yeah, I'll talk to you next week.
With microphones.
All right. Thank you for listening, Daniel, and responding to me. See you right, next bye. Week. Bye.